100 Word Stories.
Hello, everybody. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. It's Sunday, so it's time to open up the doors and welcome in the weekly challengers. That's where I post a topic and you come up with the story. The topic this week was stage. Let's see what you did with it. Let's see. First up is Thomas from way up yonder abouts there. That's actually on a map. You can look it up on Google Maps. Although be sure to spell it right. I think if you spell it with a K, it brings up porn. Or if you want to. Here's Thomas and his stories.
The microscope stage held a sample of the material gathered from the bottom of the wine cask. The technician twisted the turret around to the highest magnification lens, adjusted the fine focus, and saw the squirming, worm-like life forms. The wine, a 2003 Chin Estate Merlot, was medium-bodied red, composed of 88% Merlot, 5% Cabernet Sauvignon, 3% Cabernet Franc, 2% Malbec, 1% Petit Verdot, and 1% Mystery Worm. The nose was enchanting, with faint plum aromas and vanilla, while the palate offered plum and berry flavors with smooth tannins and well-integrated oak providing structure. She was on the stage at 3 years old. Her father and brother were also part of the act. They would go onto the stage dressed as a happy, nonchalant little family. Her father and brother wore sport coats, and she wore a handsome pink dress. They would dance a little, then they would turn around, drop their pants, and moon the audience. The man that booked the act was shocked and upset. Spittle formed in the corners of his mouth as he grabbed the collar of the father, screaming, "What do you call that outrageous act?"
"The Aristocrats."
He staged the demo in order to convince the woman that the vacuum cleaner was powerful enough to lift heavy steel nuts and bolts off the rug. He dumped a bucket of fasteners on her fancy Turkish rug, plugged in the machine, and started his demonstration. The first bolt was whisked into the hose. Clank! The bolt jammed itself into the works and destroyed the motor, and the only sale he might have had since joining Chinese Vacuum Limited. He should have known. The majority of the major components were made from beer cans exported to China from the U.S. At this stage, young Grissom was determined. He carried his rifle and pistol and several grenades on his web belt. Grissom told his wife that if anything happened to him, his love would be powerful enough that he would be able to materialize at any time, and he would leave a message with her. Stepping on a mine, Grissom was blown to a ragged mess, and all that remained were some shredded bones in his limbs. His guts lay in a pile next to him. He looked down at himself, deciding he would rather go than stay. He let go. Still riding the stagecoach between towns, Tom Mix was the brave shotgun guard that accompanied the chests of valuables that were transported between Western Washington towns. Slower and more vulnerable than the armored cars operated by Brinks, required the coach to use back roads and be disguised as a church hayride. Bales of fresh straw covered the stage, and Mix had a bulletproof niche in the corner of the coach. Three dummies dressed as parishioners were seated inside. The coach was the brainchild of an eccentric owner who loved the Wild West and all the adventure inherent in it. During the third stage of the journey, Tanya neglected to switch on the waste liquid recycling module, so the crew did not have clean water. After 3 days of desperation, the crew began capturing liquid from other sources on the craft. They began with the hydroponic gardens, finding the water used as a nutrient solution was not recoverable due to the addition of all the chemicals. They began extracting from the plants using a modified juicer and jerry-rigged press. The liquid extracted from the cucumbers, carrots, cactus, and succulents was sufficient and lasted until the recycling apparatus was back online.
You know, I need to go to the grocery store today. I think I'll add cucumbers, carrots, cactus, and succulents to the... What is a succulent? I guess I need to look that up. Well, thank you, Thomas, for adding to my grocery list. Succulents. What are you doing, Tinny? What are you hunting? You doing the wiggle butt thing. That's why Mist was hiding. It's hard to see her in the dark. Yeah. How about we do some more stories? That way I know, the cat stuff, who cares? You can't see it. It's cute. Okay, it's cats. How about Jeffrey Fisher? Okay, let's get his stories going. Jeffrey, tell us some stories.
Hello, Jeffrey Fisher here with my entries for this week's weekly challenge on the subject of stage. I'm still contemplating what kind of crimes I can fight to be part of Muncie's group of Justice Friends for this month. But I'll eventually figure out something. So far, I'm leaning towards preventing an alien invasion of Earth. That's something I seem to be pretty good at because, as you can tell, that hasn't happened yet. Anyway, on with the stories. My first story is called Intervention. The empty bottles stacked up in the recycling bin that Barry never seemed to remember to take to the curb. Bottles with liquor still in them line the shelves of the pantry, with others conveniently located about the house for ease of access. Outside the house, Barry was always the life of the party, for the first half dozen drinks, that is. After that number, insults, lewd behavior, and broken glassware became more likely. Invitations became scarce, though Barry's ability to accept also declined after he lost his driver's license. Even so, when his friends and relatives came to his door one morning to stage an intervention when Barry was still in a hungover fog, he was surprised. My second story is called Career Opportunities. Teresa strode across the stage in her graduation robes, her cap cocked back at a jaunty angle and held in place with a dozen bobby pins. She accepted her diploma from the dean with a handshake and a broad grin. She snuck a glance at her parents, who were, if anything, smiling even more than Teresa, no doubt delighted to get their youngest child off the payroll and out of the house at last. As she walked off the platform and started contemplating her future, Teresa began to wonder whether going $75,000 in debt for a major in gender studies was a wise decision.
Ha 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 ha. They ought to name that major. Hey, I'm going on welfare. Sorry. Thank you, Jeffrey. Actually, I think that's a minor that goes with it. So now that I've made my opinion clear, what am I doing to fight crime? I'm keeping Mist from going outside. I know that's a crime in and of itself to her, but, you know, the little birdies need a chance to fly away. Next? Okay. We've got Richard coming up next, standing on the shoulders of giants. Me, I stand on the shoulders of midgets. You know, that way I don't have as far to fall. Here's Richard.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my strange world. All the more strange, of course, because you're here with me. Anyway, My first story this week is part of the ongoing saga of George. Rule 2. Always look where you're going. The lamppost with which George collided suffered far less damage than he. Once the world stopped spinning, he eased himself into a sitting position. His shoulder, which had taken the brunt of the impact, would bruise beautifully. Not a propitious start to his outdoor activities. Ruefully, he realized that if he was ever going to survive, he needed to slow down, think things through, and not run blindly into danger. "Stage one, George," he muttered. "Get a grip on the basics, or you'll never get to stage two, whatever that might be." I've called my next story As You Like It. If all the world's a stage, and we are merely players, then, Mr. Shakespeare, I have a few questions. Just who is directing this show? And how did we get our parts? I, for one, wasn't asked to audition. And forgive me, but I've not been shown a script. What about rehearsals? Do we at least get time to practice our role? Become familiar with our props, adjust our costumes to fit, and maybe make some changes to the plot? Oh, and Mr. Shakespeare, if every one of us are the players, then please explain who precisely is our audience. My final story is called Deception Doubled. All we need to do is stage your death. I'll claim the life insurance, then when the fuss has died down, we'll head off into the sunset. No one will be any the wiser. Trust me, everything will work out perfectly. This was the reason I'd gone into the insurance business, and finally my plan was coming together. I'd pull all the right strings to ensure that Susan's death was dealt with speedily, and then I'd simply disappear with the cash. As for Susan, I wasn't worried that she'd find me. According to official records, I'd been dead for years. And that's all I've got for you this week. Speak to you all soon. Goodbye.
All good questions, Richard. Maybe someone can answer them in the comments. Perhaps the immortal bard himself. Although, if he were so immortal, why does he have a grave? Thank you, Richard. Next up, yes, it's Muncie, the leader of this Justice Friends. What do you want, Mist? Meow, meow, I want to go outside, I want to go outside, I want to go outside. No, you can't go outside. You know go outside's in the morning. That's when people walk their doggies. You plus doggies equals bad. She's even worse than what Nardo used to do. Nardo would hunt the dogs. She just, you know, bah! Meow, meow. All right. How about I just play Muncie's story and let her out for a little bit?
Greetings, Justice Friends. Muncie here to bring you a story, a lesson, and 1,000 angry bees. Get ready for all three. Stage Acting for Dummies by Christopher Monroe. In the theater, the most important skill you must master is the ability to speak while well lit. Also, do what you're told. There's more to it than that, obviously. A certain skill set is required, and there are a lot of tips and tricks, but it boils down to, in essence, those two basic things. Take direction and take it well, and then, when the time comes, walk onto the stage, find your mark where the light hits you properly, stand there, and speak. Not a romantic notion of acting, I know, but it gets you through the show. Broken Escalator still out there at Podiobooks.com and Smashwords. Tweets at Munzee Munzee. I hope you've enjoyed my story and lesson. And now, the bees!
The what? Bees? Oh, no. I don't like bees. Angry bees. Is that a different version of Angry Birds where, you know, you just bring up the screen and they're just bees everywhere? That's wrong. Some dude, was it Sweden, was humping a hornet's nest or a bee's nest and got killed? I don't think you even needed those last three words. It's pretty... And or you'd wish you were dead. What kind of... Well, at least the species corrects itself. Oh, thank you, Muncie, for correcting us. Speaking of someone who is always correct, that's right, it's Lizzie. She's ready to read you her story. Although, does she have two? No, she does so many. You know, every day it's like, you know, boom, 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 the thing and the this, although I think, yeah, she's doing a longer stuff right now. If you go to her site, you'll see the, like, 12 parts, right? Oh, no, now I'm going to get, you know, you aren't really paying attention. What, huh? Just like meetings at work. Oh, how about I just play Lizzie's story? Forget I said that.
It was long and deep, as any tragedy should be. After a drawn-out silly season, the media gathered for the opening, eager to witness the much-awaited comeback of Pemberton's work. After 2 hours, of which one was an exasperating monologue, the journalist of a smallish publication stood up. "Kill him already!" Silence invaded the theater. In a fit of rage, Pemberton hurried across the stage, coming from behind a curtain, and threw one of the props, a rather heavy one, at the journalist. Unfortunately, having his masterpiece ruined was not the lowest moment of Pemberton's day or following years. This is my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodkoff.blogspot.com. And also drop by ires.com, where I'm posting my short story, It Takes a Village. This is part of the initiative Avatar Blogger Month, organized by Vanessa Blaylock in Second Life. My story, along with daily posts by over 24 bloggers, will be featured during the month of June at LEA 11, L-E-A, a sim in Second Life. Drop by, and we hope you enjoy it. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. See, it's 12 Takes a Village. That's what it's called. I thought it was just Lizzie Writes a Lot. And that was cool. Oh, I'm not a part of the blogger thing month because I'm not a blogger. I'm a podcaster now. I don't blog. I occasionally tweet, but I'm not a tweeter. I occasionally plurk, but I'm not a plurker. I occasionally drink coffee, but I'm not a coffee drinker. I drink it for the Baileys. Is there anything else that you can put Baileys in? Oh, that's right. Ooh, you can put it in shakes and smoothies and shot glasses. Oh, thank you, Lizzie. Okay. Serendipity? Okay. Serendipity's turn. You see, I drag these out of the folder one at a time, usually in order. Sometimes I may push a long set, but I wouldn't name names, so that, you know, you can, I need to read this in multiple chunks, and I'm exhausted. That was an adventure. I'll just wait till next week, and then you never read anyone after that, or listen to anyone after that, or smell anyone after that. Ooh, what does Muncie smell like? Huckleberry. I know what serendipity smells like. Serendipity.
The final stage is perhaps the most bizarre, as a shocking transformation takes place. Facial features become distorted, eyes and nose become pronounced and may discolor, a rictus parodying a smile or grimace forms, and hair becomes wild or may become altogether absent. The feet may swell massively, and movement becomes uncoordinated and erratic. Falls are common, as is gratuitous violence. These somewhat frightening, though occasionally amusing creatures, tend to gather in groups of their own kind and are drawn towards children, bright lights, gaudy colors, and large crowds. Love them or hate them, the circus must have its clowns.
Are we the circus? Are we the circus, or are we the children who go to the circus? Or are we the children of the circus? Or the circus of the children, a rictus parroting a smile or grimace? Are we the circus? I don't know. Maybe next week we'll wind up clowns, according to Muncie. I'm not sure. We'll find out. Or ravens pecking at the clown's eyes as the circus dies down. God, I'm turning into Rosedrop Rust. Thank you, Serendipity. Having one of those kind of days. Things are shifting around a little bit on Piper. We've got, let's see, Ginger coming in, Stranger building stuff up in the sky, apparently. This should be scary. The Yak, we have no idea what the future holds for it. I'm sure at the last minute there will be finger-pointing. Damn you, Wellstone, why did you have to be a jerk and fly your campaign in bad weather? Now you've inspired people to be outrageous. What was his first name? Phil? Phil Wellstone? I don't know. I'm sure Kennedy he can't remember it. He's dead, too. Let's thump on the coffin! Thump, thump, thump. See if it's ripe. What? What is it, Tinny? Oh, now she's playing with her tail. Oh, sure, we buy all those cat toys and you play with your tail. You are such a dumb cat. All right. So, next we have... Oh, Cliff, Uncle Monster. Oh, what can he teach us this week? How to edit the rambles out, I guess. I've got to apologize to Cliff here. His, attachment is 484 bytes. I don't think that's a full file. Also, one came in from Chris the Nuclear Kid, and that was the Audacity AUP file. I tossed him a note in response. You know, hey, it's kind of... I should be checking these before it's showtime. Well, I can read this for Cliff, and then he can say, oh, do! You know, like everyone always says, and work it out. There are five stages of writing. Denial. They can't be serious. 100-word story. This has to be a typo. Anger. They can't limit me like that. I'm an artist. I must express myself fully and without restriction. Bargaining. How about 1,000 words and I'll split it up into 10 smaller stories? Depression. It's all meaningless. No one will ever read this. I might as well go write a haiku. Acceptance. All right. I'll just focus on the most important aspect and write a 100-word story on that. Now, how much do I get paid for this? And that's Cliff's story. I want to hear how he read it. Did I get the emotions right? And I just want to say, how about 1,000 words, and I'll split it up into 10 smaller words. Come on, stop stealing Sing Shtick. As for how much you get paid for this? Well, if you shop your stories around, I don't know. $5? Go talk to them. I got people who want to grab mine, and I keep saying, no! Because, you know, I have standards and an artist, and I hate New York. No, you have to fly up here and sign this personally. You have to fly down here and go fuck yourself. Whoops. Fourth wall. How about I just give you, Tom's stories? There are no updates this week. I know you look forward to them every week, but I look forward to his story. You see?
Hello, night people. Tom here. And tonight's story is called A Well-Defined Relationship. The widow Parsons was waiting for the stage. Timmy hung close to the mother. The transvelt winds swirled dust over his spit-shined shoes. They were bound for Evanstown to meet Doc Proctor, who'd placed an inquiry for housekeeper-slash-bookkeeper in the Strathmore Herald. Coach pulled into the station. Griff Bannister tossed down body armor to young Timothy and released the airlock to the stage. Aim true and hold your breath as you shoot, the widow reminded the son. I will, dutifully said Tim, as he triple-pumped the railgun. Bannister pulled the reins, and the batlofts pressed into the wind.
Thank you, Tom. Our lives are in the balance. We all await your further wisdom. Wisdom. Oh, wisdom. Sorry. Oh, Zach Man. Oh, he isn't the last one this week. Okay. Zach Man, do you want to tell us about some of your family here? Okay. Here we get to peek behind the curtain and learn a little bit about Zach Man here. So, ooh, this is going to be fun.
Nice to see you back, Nunzio. How was your Wild West vacation? Great, I robbed some stagecoaches. Do you mean you reenacted stagecoach robberies as a part of the vacation activities? No, Guido. I mean I was able to send two stagecoaches and a utility wagon through a dimensional gate before anyone noticed they were missing. Did you send unattended animals through a dimensional gate? No. They would have noticed missing horses right away. And not every world that doesn't use cars uses horses as their draft animal. Nunzio, where are you going for your next vacation? Somewhere with my cousin Guido.
Thank you, Zach Man. Although your levels are getting lower and lower and lower every week, I'd amplify even more. And, you know, but there's no noise. That's the thing. You're in a noiseless environment. I think you may be an artificial life form. A digital artificial life form. That could be the case. That's why you're so calm. You know, just look around. Does the Matrix have you? Just asking. Thank you, Zach Man. Oh, hey. Steven the Nuclear Man is here. Psst. You should tell your son it needs to be an MP3 or a wave or to call me and I can take the voicemail and put it up on there too. Oh, sorry. You know, Father's Day? I think it's Father's Day. I'm not sure. I'm not a father. Not a son or a Holy Ghost either. Oh, this coffee. Ooh, laundry's almost ready. How about I just get Stephen's story going and I'll meet you after I fold my little undies.
Your lover twists silk around your wrists, pulls it taut. The soft, unyielding resistance is numbing your hands. It's a little, you say, before your lover presses a sweat-salted finger against your lip. Stage one, your lover says. Your heart races, pumping love and trust and fear. Then your ankles, not soft silk, but the cold clank of steel handcuffs, metal edges biting your skin. I, you say. Your lover's silencing hand is a stinging slap. Stage two, your lover says. Your heart races, pumping love and fear. Stage three, your lover whispers, drawing the knife. Your heart races.
Okay, maybe my undies aren't so small and little after all. Whoa, Steve, man, you're just... Ooh, bodice ripper. Does anyone ever wear bodices anymore? Oh, thank you, Stephen. Blue Man Group. Oh, that was so good. That was Friday night. We did sushi, and then Blue Man Group, and, oh, the folks at Jones Hall are really nice, because we had some people running late, so it was like, okay, they left their tickets at home, can we get some reprints? And it's like, yeah, cool, this happens all the time. It's like, really? Oh, so they must go to Jones Hall a lot. And then they were running really late, so I had to leave them at Will Call so we could get in. And it's a Blue Man show, so of course, you know, if you're running late, you know, you're the late people and they guide you in. And, man, it was good. They rarely add new stuff, but, oh, wait, time for, oh, gotta get, go, never mind. Laundry time. Here's Justin.
New Space Turtle. Justin Lomaster here from thespaceturtle.com. With the story for the topic of, I'm sure you know by now, stage. In this story, I butcher blank verse and throw iambic pentameter out the window and completely change the words of a well-known line from Shakespeare from one of his plays. Let me see. Doesn't say, as I saw it earlier. Anyways, you'd think I never went to a Shakespeare class, but I did. As You Like It, I think it said somewhere. Anyhow, here we go. All the world is stages, and the players merely gamers. They have their power-ups and their combo moves, and one man in his time has extra lives, his axe being 7 stages. At first level, with low hit points and few powers, then the apprentice with his new abilities and shining with temporary invulnerability, blinking momentarily, unwillingly to long cutscenes. Then with the equipment reset, power-ups removed, with the woeful ballad shouted at the TV screen. Then a game shark, full of strange codes and skipping past bosses, jealous of high scores and sudden and quick quarrel during multiplayer.
You know, that's the best video game Shakespeare I've ever heard. I haven't heard many, but that's the best of them all. The others, well, merely players. Thank you, Justin. Now up, it's time for a treat. Hoo-hoo-hoo! Another sneer-filled episode in this week's weekly challenge. Yeah, Danny, you let them have it. You let them have it with 3 barrels. That's one damn large gun.
And hello, hello. Another week comes to an end. It's time to enter this week's weekly challenge. 372, stage. The past disappeared into the ether as the stagecoach raged forward across the barren Mojave Desert landscape. How soon before we reach San Francisco, I anxiously inquired. Well, at this stage of the game, I say we should at least get there with 2 to 3 days to spare, the stagecoach driver replied. We must hurry. My stage debut at the Fillmore is scheduled for June 18th, I implored. Well, wouldn't it have been more efficient to rent a car instead of a horse-drawn stagecoach during this day and age if you were that concerned with time, the stagecoach driver sneered.
I'm not concerned with time, because time won't change me, because I can't change time. Damn you, David Bowie. Oh, thank you, Danny. I would never damn Danny. I will only damn David Bowie. Do you know that he has heterochromasty? I think that's the term. 2 different color eyes, although some people say it's just because one is permanently dilated.
Tinny has pretty eyes. Tinny, let me see your eyes. You have pretty eyes.
I need to let her outside at some point, because it's so cool seeing how bright blue her eyes are. She likes to sneak out when we let out mist, and it's like, okay, we'll watch you for a minute. No, you gotta get back in, little girl. Because, you know, gotta watch baseball. You know what was really weird yesterday? Okay, so they had all these baseball games on. We flip over to MLB TV, and they've got Major League 1 and 2 playing. And I'm like, really? There's not enough baseball, so you have to show fake baseball? That just doesn't make any sense. Probably cheaper. And also, you know how it ends. Plus, you don't have to listen to, God, one of the broadcast teams has a real idiot on them. I totally forget. The thing is, the football commentators, the Don Crickies of the world and the Chris Collinsworths, oh, they are so bad. And yet, you know, award-winning. Who the hell gave them an award? Oh, my God. Did they just, were like, nope, nobody feels like coming into the dinner anymore. Oh, well, oh, you were here, you take it. You know, whatever. Just write your name on it. We got some scotch tape. Oh. What? Masking tape. That's what I was thinking of. God, I haven't used masking. I use, as you grow older, the kind of tape you use changes. At some point, you know, nipple tape gets in there. But duct tape, electrical tape, medical tape. Yeah, that's when things get fun. Right. I should bring up the Caledonia tape. Yeah, Caledonia's here. Yay, because I kind of lured her in with all the theater stuff, and finally she gave in. So here's her stories live from the Shawnakie Library. Okay, maybe not live. But here, let me just play.
100-word stories, weekly challenge, stage. Written and read by Judith Cullen, a.k.a. Caledonia Sky Tower. She tripped over the lip of it and fell flat on its aged wooden surface with a painful thwack. "What's this? Who put this here?" An ethereal voice came out of nowhere. "Welcome to a rarefied world where art and life collide. Welcome to the great forum of thought and emotion," the voice raised in pitch and intensity. "Welcome to the deep reality of emotions reflected with..." She interrupted impatiently. "Yes, yes, get on with it. Where's the lady's loo?" "Backstage left, down the stairs to your right. Push the handle twice, please, or it won't flush properly." The veteran and the neophyte stand in the wings, watching and waiting. "Do you ever get nervous?" the young one asks. "Every time," the curt reply. "Really?" the young one croaks, hands shaking, as he raises his water bottle and slurps, hoping not to botch his very first line out on the boards. He twitches. "But all those people, all those eyes watching you." The veteran turns a slow, patient gaze on the young one. He very softly, very deliberately whispers, "If you hit your marks and stand in your light, you will not see them. Do not look." Bette reached for the shiny statuette. It was a local award, but it sparkled like a Tony. As she sputtered out her humble gratitude, the past entered her mind. It was a sunny, hot, bee-buzzing July afternoon. She hid high amidst the fanning branches of the old backyard swing tree, Mama and Auntie on the back porch sipping huge, foggy tumblers of supposed lemonade. "I wish I knew why Bette needs so much more attention than the other children. She's always performing," her mother cried. Her aunt's patient reply, "Don't worry, dear. It's just the stage. She'll get over it."
Thank you, Caledonia, and that other name. You know, when art and people collide, that's when insurance companies get involved. Mostly Do you know that it's more expensive to fix the art than it is to fix the person? Wrong. No, it's actually more expensive to fix the person. You would think that a skilled practitioner of touching up and removing hot dog stains. No. So it's more... I'm a priceless work of art. Imagine Dean Winters starting off with that, huh? Oh. Right. It's Shark Week? Is Shark Week over yet? I hope so. Sick of sharks. I should have done shark as a topic. Maybe I'll add that to the list. Or has that already been done? I don't know. I should just stick to the ones you all send in. Even the dumb ones. Oh, but one that isn't dumb. Red Goddess. Wait, Lola gets a break, unless... No, this one's about Emily. So maybe Lola changed her name to Emily. I'm not sure. How about I just read it? So, here's Red Goddess. After years of failed campaigns, Emily, a conservative homegrown teacher, was ready for a third chance in the political ring. Teaching is her calling, but she's compelled to work from inside the system. She's been a good citizen, reaching out to local politicians and engaging her neighbors. She even started a petition at her school with the support of the PTA. Her frustrations led her to challenge the incumbent. She defers all decision about her image to the campaign consultant, who plans to stage a get-out-the-vote rally in front of City Hall. The more she focuses on her political appeal, the clearer it becomes she has entered a popularity contest, win or lose. The kids will pay the price. Thank you, Red Goddess. And by the way, I homeschool our cats. That's right. Yeah. What are you doing, Tinny? You ready for your math lessons? No? Okay, screw it. Okay, let's move on. Somebody who did record their story is Norval Joe. Ooh, he suggests a good topic here. Actually, I should just pick the first word. That would be a fun one. Oh, right. Here, Norval Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press and the Master of Macabre 2012. If today is Sunday, you still have time to join the Master of Macabre Story Contest for 2013. In fact, if it's Monday, June 10th, you have until midnight tonight, Pacific time, to send in your interest in participating. You'll have another few weeks to write your story, so if you want to do it, now's your chance. Send me a message at mmmchallenge2013@gmail.com, and we'll get you started. Well, here's my story for the weekly challenge number 372 with a prompt of stage. The secure channel to command base only crackled with static. The declared stage four retreat, a complete bug out, every man for himself. Doorn van Kirk ran the lunar scan algorithm again, hoping to find at least one ship rising from the fourth moon of Spanspec. The flight back to the Prime Colony ship would be long and lonely by himself. He initiated the hybrid plasma charge and waited for the moon to go pink. Any remaining colonists would die, but so would the damn crabs. Human technology could not be left in the hands or claws of the crabs. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. The winter dogs were in full retreat and flowed across the cul-de-sac like a black and tan swarm of locust.
What? Locusts? Oh, my God. Not cicadas? Oh, sorry. Thank you, Norval Joe. It looks like the wiener dog stories have gone back into little asides at the end. This is going to be strange. Durgle. What kind of name is Durgle? Tinny! Ooh, what's that sound? It's a timer! Yeah, it's my laundry timer, little girl. See, when I put a load in, I put the timer, and that way it doesn't sit there. And even though there's not much laundry traffic in the morning, well, let's say that, you know, folks need dryers. They want to take a spin in one. Well, you don't need my stuff clogging it up. So in a little more than 30 minutes, all done. Oh, Tinny's not interested. Okay, one thing that I am interested in is, what does Tura have to say this week? Let's find out, shall we?
There are so many self-help books now, you can't compete just by writing a new load of nonsense. So, I invented a way of generating unlimited amounts. First, choose a title of the form, N Stages of X. 5 Stages of Wealth, 8 Steps to Quitting Your Job, 10 Stages of Life. People are suckers for bulleted lists. Google the number and throw together whatever comes up. Pentagram, Eightfold Way, 10 Sephiroth, that sort of thing. Chop your subject into however many pieces and hammer them into the mold. Then, profit. I call the method 100 Words of Huckstering.
100 Words of Huckstering. Hey, I should try that. Thank you, Tura. Ooh, that is a good topic. I may have to record another one of these promos. Okay, so we're waiting on Sing now. He tossed me the text of his stories and just waiting on... There is no way I could read these. I do not have the gravitas and whimsy that he does, and the whoosh and the things in the back. You would just say, get off the stage, we want the real storyteller. So, just waiting. What? Sing's story is here. Oh, okay. I'll go ahead and... Are you ready? Okay. Here is Sing.
The Boy with the Wild Boar's Face by Chris Munisini. When the famous museum theatre closed nightly, Ketut swept the wooden stage and aisles, working his way to the vestibule collection. He unlocked each case and gently brushed the exhibits with a duster made from a cockerel's tail feathers, remembering when the master, his old Tuan, had procured each on world journeys. There were historical costumes, hats, swords and stage ornaments and props from Asia to Europe and back. Touching the mask collection, Ketut recalled his village in Bali. Years ago, the Tuan had spotted him in the street, wearing one, with pig tusks, miming a wild boar with compelling realism. 10-year-old Ketut was an orphan from a lineage of royal mask makers who had been taken in by his maternal uncle, a barber. The boy proved a financial burden for the pragmatic family, always off chasing street puppets and dance troupes. Tuan's two sons had shown no interest in theatre, but Tuan saw a glimmer of himself in the boy. If you take him with you, I'll give you his father's collection, the uncle bargained, pulling out a heavy chest. Tuan's eyebrows rose. This was getting more interesting. All right, show me these masks, and then I will decide. Tuan gasped at gold foreheads and teeth, a red-lipped barong with tusks, Garuda, Rangda, a moon goddess wearing snake hair, a beauty mask with a royal batik headdress, the good Boma demon, another with a gecko crouching between the wooden eye sockets. There was a smiling Buddha with rotten teeth, a white-faced Topeng monkey mask made from hibiscus wood, and more. These were some of the lost heirlooms of the last Jayavarman king, who had long ago committed ritual suicide. The royal seal was imprinted inside each. Yes, Tuan said, I'll take the boy. He also gave money. Thus, Ketut commenced traditional discipleship as Tuan's attendant while doing chores like sweeping the old theatre as Tuan began the training. Look, he would say, going to the wet market to buy durians and mangosteens. See the man hopping about on the hot road like a crow? Remember that, Tut. Or when the monsoon pounded the pandan leaves, Tuan would say, listen to the roaring downpour, followed by the last ping-ping of raindrops. You can use that at the end of a dance sequence. Then Tuan demonstrated a jerky hand movement coming to a standstill. Ketut was aroused and captivated. Tuan also told Ketut to look after the collection, which was the pride of the Museum Theatre. Be diligent. Many of these costumes and jeweled ornaments were endowed to me by famous people like the Sultan of Brunei and the Count of Barcelona after I performed in their courts. Then there were great makers and artisans from France and Italy with whom I exchanged our kriss blades, kebayas and turbans in return for their costumes, hats and weapons you see here. Look especially after the masks from your father. They are the most precious. They will be your best life teachers. Such favorite attention aroused jealousy among the actors and even the master's watchful wife. She still hoped one of her sons would return from the north to manage the family theater. Puan was from a plain business family. Overseeing management matters suited her, replacing the tedium of art-making. Frankly, she didn't agree with or understand her husband's lofty ideas, but she did enjoy the status of being the wife of a great artist. When he formally adopted the Balinese boy, who still wandered around with a boar mask playfully scaring the children, she did not accept him in her heart. Ketut maintained the museum collection and happily did all the menial chores. Then after 2 years, during the southwest monsoon season, the Tuan died suddenly from dengue fever. It was a blow for the whole company and Ketut. After the mourning period, Puan carried on, yet without Tuan, the company began to dwindle. Ketut's theater education stopped too, although he had formed the habit of mimicking everything and everyone around him. And although pure-minded, proud actors like Aslim, a rather messy rice-eater, felt offended seeing Tut sit down with younger children mimicking each person in the company, including himself. Obligated, Puan kept Tut on. But without Tuan to champion him, he was soon sidelined. Puan read the motives of her actors and rationalized that she had to keep things on a tactful footing. The easiest course was to leave Tut on as a janitor boy without any stage prospects, despite the career path Tuan had in mind. Nevertheless, Ketut continued, without complaint, doing all the menial chores, sweeping the stage and aisles and dusting the collection at night when the doors were locked and all went to their homes. He imagined Tuan still speaking his lessons through each garment and artifact. Put on those pantaloons from France, Tut, and the Ming Dynasty dragon coat. Take the sword from Toledo and leap onto the stage. Yes, that's right. Dance now. The sky is falling. Let your blade flash and slice off your enemy's head. Ketut role-played his signature boar character being chased by a hunter all the way back up the other aisle. Then he put on a commedia dell'arte mask, hat and harlequin suit, skipping and tumbling clownishly across the stage. Like this, he paid homage to Tuan and afterwards locked up everything, going off to sleep underneath the stage. One morning, Museum Trust, headed by Puan, was having a meeting. Sweeping outside the office, Ketut overheard a familiar, angry voice. We should sell off the collection. Funds are low, I tell you. It was Aslim, the lead actor.
Secretly, he wanted the company to go bankrupt because a developer had promised him a generous commission if he secured the contract for real estate development of the land. Things were changing in the city with the money Aslam was going to migrate to Australia. What would Master say? Thought Ketut. No, we must maintain Tuan's legacy at all costs, said Puan. The next day, Puan found the theatre unlocked and the collection gone. She called the police. Who has access, madam? The officer asked. Speaking in her high society voice, she said, Aslim and Tut, our janitor boy. Ketut was brought. Puan, seeing enemies everywhere these days, suspected Aslim. He has been scheming with the other actors and demanding more pay since Tuan passed. Later, they matched fingerprints on the door with Aslim's, but lacking more direct evidence, the case was shelved. Nevertheless, Aslim was forced to resign. In reprisal, he lured away several key actors and actresses to start his own collective. Listen in next week for the completion of The Boy with the Wild Boar's Face by Chris Mooney Singh.
Thank you, Singh. Even though I'm recording this while waiting for your stories to come in. I know, it's so weird. It's like a Quentin Tarantino movie. Time is meaningless. One thing that isn't meaningless, though, is the distance from us to the mad bard of Planet Z. Perhaps we should take a listen to what's going on way out there in the way out there. Planet Z, now is your time.
When Ted was in high school, he took an aptitude test to see what career he was best suited for. The results came back. Hostage. Which was perfect for Ted because he had very rich parents, and he was always being taken hostage and held for ransom. In fact, the school guidance counselor took Ted hostage and threatened to say that Ted would be perfect for medical testing or janitorial work. A SWAT team surrounded the school and tried to rescue Ted, but he was killed by a stray bullet. The guidance counselor updated the test results to dead hostage.
And that's it for this week, the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge. The topic was stage. Thank you to everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week, last week, next week, every week. And thank you all who are listening and have survived this long. That's okay. You can breathe now. And you can go to the bathroom. Although if you're listening to this in the bathroom, man, it took you this long. Ooh, you should change your diet. Talk to a doctor. You can go to the website at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Leave comments. Yeah, right. Or see the text of the stories in case you can't understand what the hell we're saying. All sorts of social networking things that... Ooh, plus one tweet face like this, that... So that it'll give the government an easy way to spy on you and your creative efforts. The topic next week is drink. So go ahead and get drinking now. I know some of you have to suffer through blue laws. There's always a way around it. I'll see you all next week. Until then, thank you for listening. And, as always, keep it brief.